Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 4 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Romans 9, 19 through 29. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. Fascinate us with you, Lord. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 19. One of you will say to me, "Then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?'" All right, let's pause right there. Paul is obviously answering and asking and answering his questions that he hears raised by what he's saying in the previous passages. So he's creating not necessarily a straw man argument, but he's asking himself and answering the questions that are fairly obvious and maybe even he's been asked in the past point blank when he has taught people this. And this is a valid question. If we're going to go down this road that Paul has been going down in these passages, then why would God blame us? Again, you know, if we don't get any choice in the matter, then why would God blame us for sinning? Why would he blame us for doing anything if he's really just in charge of everything and we're just automatons? And Paul is not going to answer that directly. He's going to stay with his theme, and he's going to say, what if that's how it actually was? I think the point Paul's going to make is that that's not actually how this works. You're not just automatons. He doesn't just decide for you in a certain sense, and that's the end of it. He's going to make that point, but right now he's carrying on kind of with this line of thinking, and he says, what if that's how it actually is? You don't have any decision-making power and God decides everything for you and you only do what God kind of makes you do to begin with? If that's the way it is, then who are you to say otherwise? I mean, he's the one that made you. Verse 21, does the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? Verse 22, what if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? So here, he says this twice. He says, what if? Paul is not necessarily saying this is how things are. Again, this is such a very difficult subject to wrap your mind around. Paul is taking us down a thought experiment here. And what he's doing is he's answering this question, not with the reality of how things are necessarily. He's answering them as if that was true, as if you didn't have any free will, as if you didn't have any choice whatsoever. He's saying, if that's the way it was, then why would you argue? Why would you, I mean, by arguing and saying, you know, why does God do this to us? You prove that in doing so, you are an object of his wrath. And that's why I think it's very important for us to notice this right here where he says, what if God? And this is a very peculiar thing to do in Scripture. Why wouldn't Paul just come out and say how it is? Why wouldn't Paul just explain to us how this all works? Why is he going down this thought experiment of what if we're just all automatons forced to do what God tells us to do because it's going to, you know, his will is going to happen and it's all going to come out in the end how he wants it anyway? Why is he going down that thought experiment as if that were true? That's the most intriguing thing, I think, about this whole chapter is that Paul is concluding not with the reality of how things are, but he's going down this thought experiment of this objection, this not necessarily straw man objection, but this fabricated objection that he hears in his mind, and again, is probably true. And he's taking us down that road. Because if we go down that road, if we really have no choice in the matter, then why would we argue? Why would we go down that road? Why would we care? Because you're either in or you're out. You're either going to do right or you're going to do wrong. But Paul's not saying that that's exactly how it is. He's been trying to give us a little window into the ways in which that's how things are. God is sovereign, and he does make choices, and his will is going to be followed. But somehow in the mix of that, we're not automatons. We're not robots. We do have free will. And that's why he's saying the what if God chose to make people that he was going to make in the first place just to display his wrath in. Paul's not saying definitively that's how this works. He's saying, what if God did that? How does that change anything for you? Because you don't get a say in this. This brings us to something I think that's the bigger point that Paul is trying to make. And it's something that Solomon said in the Proverbs. It's something that's all throughout Scripture. Solomon said it very succinctly, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord is the one who holds our eternal fate in his hands. Do we spend an eternity with him in his presence, in his glory, in his pleasure? Or do we spend an eternity separated from him under just punishment for eternity? Which one of those two things do we do? It's not up to us. It's not up to Satan. It's not up to our friends. It's not up to our parents. It's up to God. And he has a standard by which he bases where we will go. And that standard is, did you live a perfect life? Did you ever sin against me? And if the answer is yes, you sinned against God, then you will spend eternity separated from God, justly punished in hell. That's what he says. But he comes and he sacrifices his son. He sacrificed Jesus. Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit hatched this plan. Now, if you are the God who creates robots, who only do what they're told to do, only do the things that they have to do because to fulfill your will, they don't really have any free will. They don't have any choice. Why on earth, if you're that God who creates objects to display his wrath in just for his own pleasure, why do you send your son, one third of the Trinity, to bleed and suffer and die, mocked and ridiculed, to make atonement for those sins that weren't your choice in the first place? Why would he do that? I think that's the point that Paul is making here. I think that is what Paul is getting at, this fear of the Lord. We have to understand that he is the one who holds our fate in his hands, no one else. And until we come to that, we cannot experience the fear of the Lord. And if we don't experience the fear of the Lord, we will never experience the joy of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is where everything begins. Solomon says it's the beginning of wisdom. Experience, Solomon and the rest of Scripture doesn't say that the joy of the Lord is where we gain wisdom. It doesn't say that the love of the Lord is where we gain wisdom. It's when we realize who he is and the authority and the power he has over our lives and our eternity. That is when we come face to face with reality. And we begin to say, oh my God, is there a solution? And he says, yes, there is. Yes, there is. This is a thought experiment that Paul is taking his readers down to help you understand who God is and what authority he has over your life for eternity. He is not outright saying that God has created instruments for his wrath. Now, there are going to be, and there are, people who will experience the wrath of God. It's a tragic, tragic thing, and you don't want to be found there. So you have to understand this fear of the Lord that will lead you to his solution. The problem with human beings, and Paul, we've talked about this so far in Romans, Paul has laid this out. The problem with human beings is that we are so prone to self-justification. We want to justify our existence. We want to justify our sin. We want to justify everything. And until we come to this realization that what if God just decided who got in and who got out, who was in and who was out, that is perfectly valid for him to do. He's the creator. He's God. He can do anything he wants. What if the Lord decided to do that? It doesn't change anything for you. You don't get a say in this. That is what we have to understand. We don't have a say in how this goes. When we go and we tell God, I don't think my sin is as bad as you make it out to be, or as these preachers make it out to be, or as the Bible makes it out to be, we are missing the point. Paul's saying, what if he decided to just make you an object of his wrath from the start? That sets you back a little bit, and it gives you this understanding of, oh my God, like, you created everything. You could have done that. That could be the way it works. And I don't believe that's how it works, and I don't believe that's what Paul is saying, but he's trying to smack us upside the head with this reality that God is the one who makes that choice. And until we come face to face with that, we cannot have peace with God, and he's going to tell us why. He's going to tell us who chose wrong. Verse 24. Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. Let me back up here. This is verse 23. What if he did this to make the rich of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her beloved, my loved one, who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved, for the Lord will carry out his sentence on the earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah had said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. So he quotes these several passages from the Old Testament here. What is he trying to do? He's trying to make the point that Israel, even though they had the revelation directly from God, they did not properly consider who is the one with the authority over their eternal state. They believe that because they were God's chosen people, Israel, because they were God's chosen people, that he had separated them from everyone else, that he had predestined them. He had already chosen them to be his people. There's nothing they can do wrong. They are the ones that are in. They are the frozen chosen. And yet God is saying here, Paul is quoting all of these times where God is saying, because of your arrogance and your insolence, you're out. You are out. I reject you. His holy, chosen people, God will reject. And why? It's because they never considered the fact that it wasn't up to them. It wasn't up to them to decide whether they were in or out. It was up to God. And they lived like they got to determine whether or not their sin was bad. They lived like they got to determine how much sin they could do before they were out. They lived like it was their decision. They did not live like it was God's decision to make whether or not they spent an eternity with him. They believed that they had been predestined for God's glory. And because of their arrogance, the Lord rejected them. That's something that we don't ever want to cross into. And the only way that we avoid that is that we start. Our foundation is, like Solomon said, a fear of the Lord. Now, we don't stay afraid of God. God doesn't want us in fear. But let me be very clear here. Don't try and redefine fear. People really struggle with that statement. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, well, he must mean, you know, fearing in some other sense, and people try and redefine that. No, that word means fear. That word means afraid. You should be afraid of God because of the keys over your life that he holds in his hand. That should cause us genuine fear. But our relationship with him does not stop there. Solomon didn't say that wisdom is the fear of the Lord. He says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's where we start. That's our foundation. And that fear comes from knowing that he is the one who decides. And if he had wanted to, if he had wanted to set his kingdom up this way, he could have decided that I made you from before you were in the womb to be saved, and I made you to not be saved, that I could pour out my wrath and show the people that are saved how cool they are. That's the what-if scenario Paul is saying. He could have done that because he's God. He created everything. He set it all up the way he wanted to set it up. So until we come to that understanding, until we have that fear grip us, it's very difficult for us to understand the weight and the magnitude of the good news of the gospel. It's very difficult. I think it's nearly impossible, except that God is so gracious. We have to come face to face with that reality. So I don't believe that Paul is necessarily saying that there are, like many people say, the quote-unquote frozen chosen, that there are people who are in and people are out who are just because of God's decision. I don't think that's what Paul's saying. I think I've made that clear. I think he's taking us on this thought experiment so that we understand he could have done it that way. That is perfectly within his right as the creator, as God. But I don't believe that's the way it is. And I think he's going to conclude. He's going to wrap that up and give us understanding here in the end of this passage that we'll get to tomorrow. I've gone long, so that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.